1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of God. May he help us to receive it as such. Amen. We must begin by remembering or thinking about who our God is. We must begin this morning by remembering that our God is both the Creator and the Redeemer. That our God is the Creator. That there's nothing that we have seen, heard, smelt, tasted, or touched in our entire lifetimes that did not originate from his creative hand. That our God is the Creator. That all peoples, every single person throughout the entire world, that has lived throughout all of history, no matter their station in society, their religious devotion, their practical achievements, have been created by God. That everyone, and I mean everyone, fits into this category. And as Creator, God has blessed his creatures by establishing certain and definite authorities as the substructure of society, every society. authorities within the family, authorities within the workplace, authorities within the state. And such authorities are designed by God to work together, to bless us, to be a blessing to us as His creatures. Such authorities are established in one form or another in every culture on earth. Again, this is because such authorities are an expression of God's authority as our Creator. Again, everyone falls underneath that category. God is the Creator. He has created all things, everyone. And He has established the authority, the substructure of society for our good in every society. And wherever or whenever such authority structures are devalued, ignored, or rejected, society suffers. This is not only because in doing so, this is a rejection of the ultimate authority of God, but it's also a forsaking of the blessing of our Creator. Again, He has set these things up to bless us. They are a blessing. Our God is also not only the Creator, but also the Redeemer. He's also the Redeemer. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the one who has planned, accomplished, and is now applying salvation. The salvation is of grace, a redemption of undeserving sinners, accomplished through the loving determination of the Father, the self-giving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the rebirthing power of the Holy Spirit. Such a salvation has incorporated us into one body, has made us or identifies us as the people of God. The question is, as those who know God as Redeemer, how do we now relate to Him as Creator? What I mean is, for those who have bowed the knee before the authority of Jesus Christ, how do we now relate to the divinely established substructure of society, those governing authorities that make up that substructure? To ask you one other way, for those whose lives are governed by the gospel, how do we now relate to the authority of families, workplaces, or governments? As we turn back this morning to 1 Peter, it is my hope and prayer that we will see that knowing God as Redeemer, far from in any way diminishing, actually enables us to authentically honor God as Creator. That our allegiance to Jesus Christ should strengthen our allegiance to the divinely established authorities within society that God has established. That the governance of the gospel should lead us to humbly be governed by the authority of family, workplace, and government. Redemption in Jesus Christ, far from a transformation beyond creation, as if relieving us from creaturely responsibilities, is rather transforms us into a renewed creation. It makes us into creatures who gladly accept and are wholly blessed by every manifestation of the authority of God, our Creator. So let us see this morning that as redeemed saints, we honor our Creator. As redeemed saints, we honor our Creator. I invite you to turn with me once again to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 this morning. And we want to see, first of all, that as Christians, our submission, our honoring of human authority is for the Lord's sake. As Christians, our submission, our honoring of human authority is for the Lord's sake. Now this is clear enough. We find this in the first half of verse 13 there. We read, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." Now there's a question about the translation of that term, human institution, but we're going to go with this. This is the best translation here. And let us understand that, let us realize the human institution here is not the institution that was set up or thought up by humans, but is an institution conducted by humans. That is, such human institutions were established by God and are managed by humans. In the other New Testament passage that is well known that speaks clearly to these issues is Romans 13, as you might have guessed, and we read in verse 1 of that chapter, it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." And then he says that, the Apostle Paul says this, "For there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." So God is the origin, the designer, the foundation of every human institution or governing authority. Such institutions, such authorities, bear the seal of our Creator. And that seal is the authentication of His authority, and that we are to recognize and respect His authority wherever this seal is found. And this seal is found, or every human institution bears this seal. For this reason, the Apostle Peter instructs us to be subject to every human institution. You can see later on in verse 17 that he instructs us twice to honor everyone. And then honor the emperor. So such subjection, such honor, is because we recognize and respect God's seal of authority. Or you could say it in a different way. Such subjection, such honor to every human institution is for the Lord's sake. So as Christians, our submission, our honoring of human authority is for the Lord's sake. So understanding this principle, or recognizing this principle, we should confess, as a lesser known reformer did, a friend of John Calvin, a man named Pierre Verret. He said this, "There is no doubt the rulers are, beyond compare, much better served by believers who know the gospel than by any other men. They have no servants who are less likely to betray them than these. For believers would much prefer to die rather than to have even thought of such a cowardly act as to betray their rulers." And then he gives the reason. "Because they fear God." Because they fear God. So Christians who know the gospel should be the best submitters to authority. Should be the best of those who honor the presiding human institutions. One could say that Christians should be the best of citizens. Once again, this is because we recognize and respect God's authority, big A, in the governing authorities of this earth, small a. As Christians, we have been given examples of such loyal service to human governing authorities in the Bible. Think of Joseph, who served Pharaoh in Egypt. He served as a second command in Egypt for years. And through Joseph's service to Pharaoh, Egypt was blessed. Or you could think of Daniel, who was carried off away to Babylon and eventually became a ruler in Babylon. He served under the pagan leaders as Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. Yes, he had challenges during that time, that is true. But yet he served faithfully. Or think of Ezra and Nehemiah, who served under the authority of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. They served under the king of Persia in their efforts to return to Jerusalem, to both rebuild the temple and then to rebuild the city walls. So Joseph, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah are all examples of God-fearing men who submitted themselves to the present human institutions over them. They understood that God had established and was effectively reigning over the authority of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, Artaxerxes and the Persians. Their faithful allegiance to such pagan leaders was for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. And God used their faithful allegiance to not only bless Egypt, Babylonia, Persia, but also in the end to bless the people of Israel, the people of God. So God wants us as Christians to realize that in a similar way, our submission, our honoring of human institutions is for the Lord's sake. It's for the Lord's sake. Our submission, our honoring blesses society, God's creation in general, but also blesses the people of God, His redeemed community specifically. So as Christians, we are not exempted from such submission, such honor, but we are to recognize and respect the authority of God in every human institution, precisely because we are Christians. So we've seen so far that we're to submit, to honor to every human institution. Let us see next how human institutions have been given as custodians of good and evil. Human institutions have been given as custodians of good and evil. Once again, this is clear enough if you look at the second half of verse 13 and then into verse 14, where the Apostle Peter continues on, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So the Apostle Peter cites here as human institutions the governor, the emperor as supreme, and the governor as sent by him. These governing authorities have been given the responsibility by God to attribute good and evil, to punish evil, punish evildoers, and to praise those that have done good. Emperors and kings or their governors, their officials have been ordained by God as we read in Romans 13, Romans 13 explains, to approve what is good and to avenge the wrongdoer, and to do this with the sword. So emperors and their governors are servants of God and are to represent God's present judgment of good and evil. such governing authorities and given such responsibilities, if you think about it, is a great blessing by God. If we ever doubt this, just think of a place where the governing authorities are absent, where each and every individual is deciding what is good and evil. And we will soon see how great of a blessing governance is, how the value of responsible authority. So for this reason, let us thank God for human institutions that have been given as custodians of good and evil. Such custodians of good and evil have been given because of the nature of man. Man is a fallen creature. Because we have forsaken the ultimate authority of God, we naturally challenge any and all representations of His authority, whether that be parents, teachers, bosses, mayors, governors, presidents, or courts. As fallen creatures, we don't like being told what to do. By the God of the universe, let alone a mere human who possesses authority over us. We want to make our own rules. We want to be the custodians of good and evil. Every person wants to be the custodians of good and evil. But this is precisely why we need the governing authorities, whether parents, teachers, bosses, judges, that we might learn that we don't make the rules, that we might learn that we don't get to decide what is right and wrong. As fallen creatures, we all need to learn that lesson. And therefore, as fallen creatures, we need custodians of good and evil. The categories of good and evil are fundamental to human society, to moral obligation, to the creative order. You think of the categories of good and evil have been here from the beginning. You think of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. As we consider how human institutions have been given as custodians of good and evil, it's essential for us to consider how, yes, governing authorities have been given the right to attribute good and evil, again, to punish evil and to praise good, but they have not been given the prerogative to define the attributes of good and evil. So they attribute good and evil. That's, yeah, you did evil, you did good, but they have not been given the right to define the attributes of good and evil. That right belongs to God alone. God alone has the authority to define good and evil. So when human institutions, at whatever level, attempt to go beyond being a mere custodian and start to define or attempt to define these categories contrary to God's revealed definition, then as Christians, our allegiance reverts back to God's authority, big A, and we no longer give it to the human authority, the small a. But again, it's as redeemed saints, we honor the Creator. We always remain on the God standard. We must remain on the God standard, our Creator's standard. Perhaps this will help. Think of this. The United States currency, the dollar bill, used to be on the gold standard. And so there was the legal value of the dollar bill was backed up by the actual value of gold. And so this little piece of paper that had little to no value in itself could be said legally, you must respect this as having value because of the gold backing it up. But we've gone off the gold standard, and so that little piece of paper has no actual value backing it up, and therefore the value of the dollar bill is unstable. And it's one of the things that can happen is we see inflation, where you need a whole lot more of that paper to go back to their original value. I think we can think about human authorities or human institutions in a similar way. Human authorities are to operate on the God standard. The legal authority of a human institution is backed up by the actual authority of God. A human institution actually has little to no authority in and of itself, but because of the authority of God backing up, it can say to legally hold this authority. But when such human authorities go off the God standard, then their authority becomes unstable. And again, they, like the dollar bill, they're going to become, they have the high potential of becoming inflated, because they're going to need ask for more and more allegiance to garner the same authority. My point is this, is that one of the ways, or the primary way, you could say that human institutions or human authorities go off the God standards when they try to take the prerogative to define good and evil and say, this is good and this is evil. And when they do that, they're going off the God standard, and then their authority is going to become shaky. And as Christians, we must continue, no matter what, to remain on the God standard. Yes, we honor our Creator. Therefore, we honor the existing human institutions. But when they go off the God standard, we don't go with them. We remain with our Creator. So we must ask, are the governing authorities are they on the God standard? Where are they attempting to presume the right to divine good and evil? At such points, we must, as Christians, revert our allegiance to God rather than men. For man abandoning God's standard has forfeited the right to be obeyed. It was the Apostle Peter who wrote these verses here, verses 13 through 17. It was the same Peter that wrote these words that declared in Acts 25 to the religious rulers of his day, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. So we must always remember who defines good and evil. But at the same time, we are to be grateful for God-given custodians of good and evil. Each and every human institution that we have known that has punished evil and praised good, that has taught us that we're not in charge. We don't get to decide what is right and wrong. So let's thank God for human institutions who have been given as custodians of good and evil. So we've seen so far how we are to submit, to honor every human institution. These human institutions have been given as custodians of God-defined good and evil. Let us see next how, as servants of God, we do good, not evil. As servants of God, we do good, not evil. As Christians of all people, we must recognize and respect the role and responsibilities of human institutions. We must confess and conform to the truth that God is the creator. Again, he defines good and evil, and he has established the governing authorities to punish and praise the same. This is so essential for us, because as the people of God who claim to know and serve God the Creator, the world is watching us. They are watching if our lives are consistent with our confession. We confess that God created all things, that he created everyone, that he created, established, and reigns over the governing authorities. So are we going to live according to this confession and continue to do good? Or when things go not the way we'd like, or we begin even to suffer, are we going to do evil, to try to somehow undermine or overthrow God's created order? What are we to do? Or what are we going to do? Well, the Apostle Peter tells us, as servants of God, we do good, not evil. We do good, not evil. So the fact of the matter is, as we spoke of last week, even when we do good, there are going to be some who try to label us as evildoers. At least they will attempt to make this argument, this accusation. It's happened to Jesus. It's happened to the apostles. It's happened to Christians throughout church history. Foolish people will attempt to make ignorant arguments about us as believers. As the Apostle Peter says later on in chapter 3, verse 16, essentially says, you will be slandered. There will be those who revile your good behavior in Christ. They will revile your good behavior in Christ. Therefore, since we are already going to be on the defensive in this world, in a sense, it is essential for us as Christians to commit ourselves to doing good. We must commit to doing good, to doing good to honor and seek to establish the governing authorities. Again, to do good to how God has defined it. And to do this even when we are provoked, even when we are persecuted, we must continue to do good. The Apostle Peter, once again, later on, chapter 4, verse 17, urges us, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. It's interesting that he says Creator there. Faithful Creator while doing good. But those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is how God has ordained for us to be victorious, to be provoked, to be persecuted, and to continue to do good, and thus proving ourselves to indeed be children of God. We won't be able to look at it this morning, but Lord willing, in the coming weeks, we will look at how, at the end of this chapter, he uses Christ as our example, who was unjustly treated, but entrusted himself to his faithful Creator, the one who judges justly, and he continued to do good. And we're to follow that example. We're to follow that example. So if we continue to do good, no matter the world's provocation, the world's persecution, it is only a matter of time until the world's foolishness, their ignorance, will be exposed and they will be silenced. Now I say it's only a matter of time. If you think about time in the Bible, this is on God's time. So it may be decades, a generation, until the world is fully exposed until they're fully silenced. Nevertheless, this is God's strategy for us. The apostle says in verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should silence the ignorance of foolish people." Why is it so important for Christians to commit to doing good? To commit to it? It's because when provoked, when persecuted, as with anyone else, we have the potential to do evil, to do evil to those who are doing evil against us. Against us. Oh, that was it. Against us. It's a real possibility. But we must remember the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 12, 21. He tells us not to be overcome by evil. But what? To overcome evil with good. To overcome evil with good. We must remember that just because we are Christians, God's redeemed people, those who enjoy a greater spiritual freedom, this does not give us some sort of liberty to neglect doing what is right, to neglect God's commands as Creator. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul warns us in Galatians 5:13. He says there, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." You're free. Don't think that you can. That kind of gives you an out to satisfy your flesh. You're forgiven. Don't think you can just satisfy the flesh. I think similarly, the Apostle Peter here in verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." So our identity as servants of God, far from giving us a license to do evil, attempting to undermine or overthrow the authority substructure that God has set up, rather, it lets us commit to continue to respect God's created order while continuing to do good even when we presently suffer for it. So let us remember that servants of God, we do good, not evil. So as we bring this to a close, let us remember that our God is the Creator and the Redeemer. Our God has created all things, everyone, and this includes the governing authorities. All creatures are responsible to submit, to honor the Creator's authority. And His authority has been established in these human institutions. Our God is also the Redeemer. He has redeemed us from sin, death, and hell. As we spoke of last week, we are a heavenly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. That we stand on the opposite side of that great difference we explored last week. However, let us realize that knowing God as Redeemer does not relieve us from present creaturely responsibilities established by our Creator. This includes submitting to, honoring the presiding human institutions. As there is no contradiction between God as Creator and God as Redeemer, there is no necessary contradiction in us being redeemed saints in honorable creatures, honorable citizens. There's no necessary contradiction in us worshiping God and submitting to and honoring human institutions. As the Creator and Redeemer, the same God is behind, over, and in all things. The servants of this God, this Creator, this Redeemer, the Apostle Peter says to us in verse 17, how we are to honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. As we consider the union of our creaturely responsibilities and our creaturely responsibilities, honoring everyone, honoring the emperor, the union with our redemptive commitment to love the brotherhood, to fear God, let us end by thinking of Christ. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Son of God is our Creator. He is our Creator. Yet the Son of God, who is in the beginning, who is with God, who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Our Creator became a creature. And He, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. He became our Redeemer. Our Creator is our Redeemer. So let us, then, we look to Christ because of Christ, the Son of God, our Creator, our Redeemer. Let us, as redeemed saints, live as honorable creatures. Let us honor our Creator because we are Christians. Amen.